Warning. Following video contains strong language which may be offensive to some viewers and or inappropriate for children. The content within this video is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this fucking piece of shit Riverside. Wait, meet us in here in the man cave. It's me, Scott. To my supposable left or right, I don't know. It depends on how I fucking edit. I got Christopher Webb right there. We got our good friend Jake Patton, who's joined us today. He's going to try to relieve some of the tension from fucking bullshit Riverside. Yes, that's right. I'm a little pissed off right now because we restarted recording this podcast earlier. So if you're watching this shit on YouTube or Rumble, I may appreciate it later because Lord knows I'm not in a good fucking mood right now because we were going to sit down and talk about some horror shit and watch some trailers, but because of my so-called fucking internet, it doesn't want to work properly. So hopefully we can get through this, or maybe this is just my experience with late night with the fucking devil. Did I enjoy it? Was it good or bad? Was it your typical bullshit horror film that's been created here lately, or was it something original? Maybe we'll get through this all together as I fucking now get a shot and I'll let Chris and Jake take over for the rest of this podcast until I cool my fucking jets. Enjoy, guys. They call this the nose, Jake. Call it.
It's got, nose?
It's got quite the nose on it, is what they call it.
Oh, it's got quite the nose on it, does it, then? That's so wonderful.
It's got the nose. The nose on it. It's quite a long nose.
So you guys talk about fucking cocaine?
Yeah. Yep.
So, guys, are you having fun? Are you guys enjoying yourself? Is Riverside being awesome on your end? And I forgot to hit fuck echo cancellation. They'll just have to deal with it. No one listens to our shit anyways. Except for Zach's mom, Natalie, and, well, probably some of, Chris, your mom listens. So, for our four loyal listeners and viewers, thank you. For the rest of you, this is what it's like every goddamn podcast. Chris, Jake talk about cocaine in their noses, and I get pissed off.
I was going into a type of deviation from a what the fuck you drinking type thing.
What the fuck you drinking?
I brought a heavy hitter out tonight. The Ardbeg Ugadal is what it's called. But other than that, I'm just drinking regular beer. A little bit of Terror Bird. That's what it's called. A little bit of Rheingeist there.
Been seeing that here lately on the shelves at the local grocery stores. It must be
fucking
their
delicious.
I guess seasonal or their monthly brew or.
I'm going to say yes because I don't see it that often. So it's got to be.
Jake, my friend, an eye for horror. Let's put some plugging in right there. An eye for horror.
I like it.
Hey,
what are you drinking? Then we'll talk a little bit about that because that might help us get into our subject matter here.
Oh shit! Hold on a second, man.
Jake's prostitute finally showed up.
Meet us in the man caves. Underwear that's fun to wear. Super duper absorbent materials that absorbs 25 times its weight, neutralizes that shitty and pissy odors with our lavender musk scent. Shitty male protection to pissy male protection.
Maximum overloads.
Meet us in the man cave's fresh protection underwear. That's so damn fun to wear. Now come on, what are you wearing?
Only available with Bubba.
So Jake, an eye for horror. Is that, from what I understand, the name of your new podcast? Is that the name of your new podcast?
Like, oh my God, that is so the name of my new podcast. It's like an eye for horror, you know, like whatever. Yeah, that is.
And, it's fucking fancy in here.
Exactly.
So, with an eye for an eye for a podcast, what the fuck are you drinking? What the fuck? WTF, man.
Mike's Harder Lemonade, 8% alcohol.
Mm. It's open to everyone, every kind, every individual, especially for people who have an eye for horror, man. He may have that sponsored on his new podcast. So Chris, of course, is drinking some Rheingeist. And when I go down the deep, dark tunnel, I have to rely on something that I can depend on. Some Heineken and some orange. Mm-hmm. I'm just going with my tradition. I wasn't going to drink any of this tonight, but... Fuck it.
But here we are, right?
It went down and it felt just right. Speaking of an eye for horror, I want to hopefully set up a trailer that we could watch. Let's get into some Beetlejuice.
Yes.
I'm Beetlejuice.
Oh, I'm fucking there.
Chris, what do you think? Since you're the one that shared that trailer, what are your thoughts on Beetlejuice?
You know, I love me some fucking Keaton, man. Keaton's just great. I love seeing him on the screen. It's just, there's a nostalgic, and then there's like a part of me that's just like, these characters he created, like such as Batman or something like that. Batman and Beetlejuice is just, man, I can't believe it took him that long to step back into that role. But him and Tim Burton together, that's just so fucking great, man. I love it. I'm going to be there first day. Seeing him in that makeup, oh man, it's awesome.
I just want to hear him say, I'm Beetlejuice. It would ruin it, but still.
And if I could, that title, Beetlejuice, that only leads me to believe there's going to be a third. There has to be, right? Beetlejuice. That's fucking genius. I mean, I guarantee you Tim Burton.
As long as the money mode doesn't ruin it, I'm down for it. I mean, yes, I want to be wealthier. I want to be able to afford my bills and have a future and never work again. But at the same time, I feel like money ruins the creativity. But with Tim Burton, sometimes that's hard to... Tim Burton's just, yeah, he's too damn good.
He's a different duck, and he just does whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah. Got to respect the man on his creativity. There's no doubt about it. He's got a vision like no other director. That's for sure. Jake, an eye for horror. What are your thoughts on that trailer?
I think it looks really good, and I'm excited to see it too. And Jenna Ortega is really badass actress too. And Winona Ryder, I think it'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sad that certain things didn't happen to another actor here recently. I mean, I'm not going to get into the politics and everything about it. Shit happens. If he's guilty, then shame on him. If he's not guilty, I hope that, you know what I'm talking about. Alec Baldwin, when the situation that happened on the set where we don't need to go there. And I just feel like if that didn't happen, then there's a very good chance Alec Baldwin would have been a part of this production. But you know what? This is not about Alec. This is pretty much about, as we all know, Michael Keaton himself. Let's face it. It is. It's Beetlejuice. And come on. That was what a, actually Night, what was it called? Not Night Court. There was a movie that was out before Beetlejuice, before Batman. It actually had Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. It was a comedy.
Chuck Lumley's a nice guy. Maybe too nice. And everyone knows it. Every day. In fact, the only time he gets to rest in peace is at the office.
City morgue.
Enter Bill Blazejowski.
Hi, I'm your new partner.
A man of vision with a mouth to prove it.
This is Bill. Mission in life. Make Chuck a man. We got all that space down at the morgue. All those cars, all that time at night, nobody watching us. Pimps? Are you saying we should become pimps?
Love brokers! You and me, buddy!
We're all yours, Chuck.
Together, they're going to make the day pay off all night long. Henry Winkler, Shelley Long, and Michael Keaton in Night Shift. Chuck was reluctant.
There are women, female human beings, rolling around in strange beds with strange men, and we are making money from that.
Is this a great country or what?
Bill was out of control.
Hey, look at this! We got teenage girls waiting full of brides in here!
Today, it starts, all right? Operation Chuck, all right? From now on, we're gonna have some fun, 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 till our daddy takes our T-bar away, all right?
Do you know that girls know how to? And stand in line,
radical! Radical!
This is a morgue. You're partying in a morgue. A sick world.
Yeah, thank God.
With Bill's head for finance and Chuck's knack for figures, everyone's got it made. There's only one minor obstacle, and it's not the Better Business Bureau.
Hold on, Chuck, I'm coming, buddy!
Night Shift. It makes a day seem dead by comparison.
I just ruined Beetlejuice for you guys. I'm sorry. So that's where I go.
You can't ruin Beetlejuice.
That's where I go. My thoughts is I'm excited to see too. And hopefully we could watch some more trailers here before, or should I talk a little bit about the Late Night with the Devil? Meet Us in the Man Cave apparel available now. Get your very own Meet Us in the Man Cave house, boat, car, child, guitar, batteries, dishes, household apparel, kitchen apparel, hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, shower curtains, phone cases. Oh, the list could go on and on and on. Isn't that right, Chris?
Question. Can Chris? I do it with my butt cheeks?
Meet Us in the Man Cave apparel available right now at redbubble.com. Remember, only a few of those items are available, including hats.
Since we're into the Jenna Ortega little universe here, what's your guys' thought on the Scream developments? Nev Campbell coming back. What's her name? Melissa, I forget her name. She's being thrown out now.
Rara or something like that.
What's your guys' thoughts on that?
I'm blank on it. I haven't really been following the Scream here in the let's say I haven't really been keeping up with it the past 6 months. That's the best way to put it. So help me out a little bit.
In between with Scream 7, they didn't want to pay Nev Campbell, pretty much her. She felt like she was kind of deserved royalties for bringing what she brought to Sidney Prescott. And where she was in terms of the whole, it'd be like Jamie Lee Curtis, like wanting her royalties for the Halloween universe, I feel like. And they didn't want to meet her financial goals there. They didn't want to pay her so much. So it felt like they kind of went with lesser known actresses, and Nev Campbell was kind of out for the last Scream that was out. I think it was Scream 6. Is that right, Jake?
Yeah, Chris. Scream 6.
Yeah. So we're coming back into Scream 7. Obviously, Scream 6, I mean, I saw it. I wasn't too hyped on it because kind of going back, I am a huge Nev Campbell fan. So I kind of did have a little boycott thing going on. Like, I don't think that's right what you did to Sydney. I'm kind of a Sydney fan, so I didn't watch it. But they kind of ousted her out for 6. And then, you know, 6 did what it did. And now they're kind of coming full circle and they're trying to bring Sydney Prescott back into the Scream world. So they're agreeing to pay Nev what she wants to come back into the franchise.
All I say is pay the bills and keep the creative juices rolling. Cause let's face it, Scream is a huge franchise. And, yeah, let's, I just beg for creativity and to have one director, one producer, one writer, not 12 of them. We don't need a bunch of brains going in a scatter and like, no, let's do this. No, just one person do their job. I think that's what helps out quite a bit.
I don't know if Jenna is going to be back into the Scream universe. I don't know how that's going, but you know, I'm just happy that Nev's coming back. I think just being the fan that I am, I just wanted to see what you guys thought. That's all.
I'm open to it. I welcome it. And like I said, I just want creativity flows to I just want to keep some dominance going with some good creativity with horror so we can start enjoying it more again. And with Scream, why the hell not? Nev Campbell, fuck yeah. It all makes sense. Let's do it. Because the Ghostface has been kind of flat without her. That's just my feelings on it. Well, guys, you want to watch another trailer that Chris suggested?
Let's do it.
Volume should be down. Caption. That scream.
Run.
Run. Alien.
I seen that Tom Moraine for a second. I'm like, what? No. Yeah. Stop. All right. Chris, you went first last time. Jake, what are your thoughts on that trailer?
Damn, that looks amazing. And it looks better than Alien Covenant.
That's
kind of sucked.
Covenant, okay.
We'll have a covenant. Yeah, this, it's a teaser. I mean, okay, folks, I'm not going to bullshit you. Jake, Chris, and I, we had technically watched this trailer a little bit ago, but as you could tell, I was pretty pissed off earlier because of technical difficulties, and this isn't, been a technical difficulties kind of week where I just want to bitch slap the hell out of it. But, excuse me. But to be fair, the trailer does look awesome. And I'm glad Chris sent that and I had a chance to share it with you guys here. Hopefully, I have faith in it went well. It looks good. I think the horror fans or the creators are listening to us, Chris and Jake.
I don't want to be beat over the head with it. I don't want to know too much. I just want, that's part of the mystique that I'll always envy with people that saw Halloween in theaters.
You should envy yourself now.
I knew what to expect. Like, people walking in there, they would, you know, of course, there was a whole bunch of marketing leading up to it, but nothing that gave away the whole story, I don't think. It was like there was a mystique to it. It was like you went to the theater and you just, I feel like I would have been blown away. And I don't think we get that anymore. I think these trailers take it too far. Teaser trailers are nice because they just, you know, especially all these overhead shots and the claustrophobic feel of that that Romulus, alien Romulus, makes feel good. It makes you want to go and see for yourself what comes out of it. Not knowing where you're going with it. If I could give an example of one that went too far, I'm going to throw the Crow remake out there. Yeah, we all know what to expect, but we've seen the whole movie already. Hmm. Give too much.
Jake, you being an eye for horror, and I'm plugging the shit out of it because I think it's just a brilliant name for a podcast. Seriously, an eye for horror. I mean, there's no doubt anyone that follows you on social media or pays attention, takes the time, follows you on all your social media platforms. And I didn't want to sound rude there because it did sound rude. But it's quite obvious that you are a huge fan of horror. I mean, what are your feelings like when you see these trailers? Not just these two, but as Chris was talking about, I mean, share your own thoughts and feelings on this from a horror fan. Does it ruin it for you when you see too many trailers or?
Yeah, it does. I like to be teased a little bit. I don't want to know too much about the plot or the story. I want to be surprised when I go to the theater and actually sit my ass down and watch the movie, you know? So I like to be teased somewhat.
I mean, I couldn't help but think of Beetlejuice. Tim Burton, could we get teased with a cameo of Johnny Depp? Now, that's just my imagination because we're being teased. That goes back to using our imagination as a fan of the genre. I want my imagination to think about this film. It doesn't start till May and my expectations get high and like, you know, were they met? Was I disappointed? But still. It got me to thinking.
Yeah. So your imagination is going to keep working with that and be like, holy shit, what if we do get a surprise Johnny Depp? And then you sit your ass in that seat and it happens in Night Made, right?
Yeah. Johnny Depp will be in Beetlejuice. Well, guys, I really am itching to talk about Late Night with the Devil, but I know it's, I'm still debating, should I spoil it or not? But before I do, Chris did inspire me with something. And, he just mentioned it a moment ago. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I refuse to have anything to do with this 2024, The Crow, because as far as I'm concerned, it's an insult to the original Crow. It's an insult to Eric Draven. I'm getting my alphabet screwed up here. It's an insult to Brandon Lee. And for all of you emo fans out there, for all of you out there that really got into that fashion, you know where it started? It started right here with the only Crow that I'm going to watch and the only trailer that I'm going to share with you when it comes to The Crow.
People once believed that when someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes, just sometimes, the crow could bring that soul back to put the wrong things right.
Is that gasoline I smell?
Victims, aren't we all?
Should we play the actual, the new trailer, or should we just leave it? What if people haven't seen it?
Chris,
they can go watch.
You have every right to have your opinion on this, and Jake, you as well. I don't want to fucking watch it.
I've watched it several times. I'm a huge Crow fan. I'm big, huge Crow fan. That was like what introduced me to Burn with The Cure. I mean, you talk about the soundtrack, you talk about the atmosphere, you talk about the lead actor. That movie just had everything. It was like a perfect storm. It would be like trying to remake Halloween. You're going to piss off so many fucking people. It's a perfect storm. It is a classic. It doesn't need to be remade, especially with the shit that they did. I'm so mad about fucking Lil Crow. Is he a fucking rapper? Is he one of the little rappers? I don't even fucking know anymore. He's got, God bless people that's got the mullets, but whatever. He's got the mullet. He's got the face tattoos. He looks like one of the new little rappers. They were trying to target a certain audience, and it's very obvious what core audience they were going for. They weren't remaking this to try to appease the cult following or the older fans. They couldn't. There's no way that they could try to remake this with, what's her name? FL Twigs. I don't fucking even know anymore. She's no Sherry. Like, there's so many. I understand they're trying to make something original. That's the problem. I feel like if they would have just made a Crow sequel and not named him, you know, Shelley Webster and Eric Draven, it would have been fine. We would have accepted another Edward Furlong. We would have accepted it, whatever the sequels were. We would have accepted it, and it could have been a great movie. But you fucked it up when you tried to name him Eric Draven.
Yeah, I think it's a huge slash to the face.
It's not going to work.
What's that?
Whatever they're trying to feed us.
Sorry, folks. I've got my brain on fucking technology when he said that. Speaking of technology, if you go back 30 years in 1994, when The Crow was originally released, I think enough of you out there know by now that Brandon Lee unfortunately died during the making of that film. And the fact that they were able to do what they were able to do back then in 94. I mean, thankfully, Brandon Crow was able to be involved with the film as much as he was involved in with. In other words, let's say there was, I don't remember the exact number amount, but let's say right now he was involved in 80% of the film and they had to add 20% in. They had his basic stand-in stunt double that really filled in for overshadowing his face on over a body like Photoshop as we have today. And like I said, back in 1994 with that technology, it was just, it's really amazing on how they did that. Even when you watch the original Crow from 1994, it basically says more or less in a sense that film was more or less dedicated to Brandon Crow and another actor involved as well. Now I can go here and defend the hell out of Brandon Lee and everybody else's performance in that film and the film itself on the just the cinematography and the visuals alone. And, you know, there might be a bunch of millennials that may love the hell out of this new Crow, but you know what? We'll just say we'll agree to disagree. You could enjoy your Crow and I'll enjoy mine and we'll leave it at that. But Chris, Jake, I'm sorry. I refuse to watch one frame of this latest Crow. That's just me. If I'm being selfish and rude, then I'm going to be selfish and rude.
Alex Proyas? Alex Proyas? Director of The Crow? He did phenomenal, man. I mean, all the monochromatic and the flashbacks were all in the red scene. Like, it all felt the mood. It was all in the atmosphere. He did such a great job. Like, God.
Which goes into the visual effects of a white face, which could be a white mask, which can capture so many shadows and so many different looks. Eric Draven, Brandon Lee, with that makeup and the cinema photography, the lighting, everything about it, gave you the essence of as a lot of old school farts like myself that says H1's the best. Well, Brandon Lee with that makeup.
There's zero. I haven't seen a single white face as well. He's not using white face at all. He's just going straight black, I believe. Bill Skarsgård. I don't think he's using the white face at all. And if you notice in The Crow, I think that theater mask that was hanging on Shelley's vanity.
Yeah.
I think that's where he got the whole idea to draw the crow.
Yeah.
Face.
I mean,
when he touched it.
Basically, as what you're describing there, Chris, they're giving the visual. That's what inspired him to do that. So, and it's also makes me think of an old Jackie Robinson, Tears of a Clown. An old song.
Smokey Robinson.
Thank you. I was waiting for Jake to shine like he normally does on our podcast. Smokey Robinson, Tears of a Clown.
As he and Jake sneaks up on
you. Jake, what are your thoughts on The Crow compared to the original to possibly, I don't know, have you watched the newest trailer?
I also, like you, refuse to watch it. The 1994 Crow is a classic. Halloween ain't till mañana. Morphine is bad for you and such. Shit on me. I love that movie. It's a classic.
Shit on me.
Right?
Shit on me. Is that gasoline I smell? I mean, even some of the
Mother is the name for God on the lips and hearts of all children.
And let's think of Christopher Nolan's Batman, where we have the Joker. And when he comes into the restaurant, the kitchen, I always felt that when we have that scene there where the Joker walks in, where he's approaching the table with all those gangsters sitting there, right? I always felt like that was inspired from the scene from the original Crow, where you have Brandon Lee who walks in towards the end of the film where that big table of all those basic gangsters, the bad guys in that town. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just felt like that was inspired from The Crow, the original 1994 Crow. Every time I see that, I think that just makes me think of The Crow.
Love it. Yeah. Gentlemen.
You know, The Crow has an amazing soundtrack. Chris, you brought that up with The Cure and everything else. But you know, there's another artist, another band, and this is going to bring in the music. And even though I know you guys are like, well, what are your thoughts on, you know, Late Night with the Devil? But I just recently got into something here with my turntable. Let's see here real quick. Can I line this up real quick? I don't know. Let's see. I'll try to do this. You know what? I know I can, because that type of technology won't fail me. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Had it upside down.
That Trent? Trent, Mr. Trent Reznor, man.
1989, Nine Inch Nails. Yeah, I'm going to keep that audio in there from vinyl, the technology that doesn't fail me. Pretty Hate Machine. Bring a little bit of music into this podcast here. This is one of my favorite albums. I'm surprised I didn't talk about it in season one. This takes me back to a certain time in my life where I was kind of... I'm not going to get into it because it's a podcast on its own, but I love this album. This is where I discovered Nine Inch Nails. This is a killer album. Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry, we mentioned The Crow because there is a song from Nine Inch Nails in that soundtrack. And I'm like, okay, time to plug a vinyl record.
Fucking great album or soundtrack, I guess. I still call it an album. I don't give a shit. It's a great album. I mean, even though it's a soundtrack.
Well, it's like the same difference, you know? It's it's an album, but the soundtrack to the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, you talk about an album, you talk about certain artists. This is obviously like various artists, but it's it's put together so well that it's cohesive. It works. It makes the movie what it is. The atmosphere and the soundtrack, it was just fucking, it's perfect.
And as I was trying to kind of put my needle away, because, you know, I want to be careful. I protect. It's that's one great thing about vinyl. You're more protective over it. You know, you kind of baby everything with it. And I grew up with vinyl, well, not well, let's face it, it wasn't like vinyl and all of a sudden, boom, we had streaming. But yeah, it was always considered like Caddyshack, the movie Caddyshack. If you had it on, if you got it on vinyl, you just called it a soundtrack. It was just what you called it. So yeah, sorry. I just thought I would plug the Nine Inch Nails thing in there real quick. And I just love that. God, it takes me back. Takes me back. Great album. Chris, do you have any decent albums you've gotten that you like here recently while I'm trying to set up this next trailer?
Oh, buddy. We're into music now. Damn.
Try to mix things up. This is horror cars. We haven't really done music and, you know, like I said, try to set up the next trailer.
I'm definitely real big on, there's a rapper. His name's Joyner Lucas. And he recently released one of his albums. It's a great album, but he also happened to bring DMX onto one of his features for one of the songs on the albums. And man, kind of hit me hard. I mean, we haven't heard an actual like DMX, you know, the bars, the 16s, we haven't heard none of them since he died pretty much. And then his posthumous album came out, which is Exodus. So we haven't heard from him since. And to hear his voice, man, it was kind of heavy when I was listening to it. But there's that one. It's called Not Now I'm Busy. But that's the album cover. Looks a little fucked up on it. I've been listening to that quite a bit. And then there's a... there's also a to show how diverse my music taste is. There's a kind of a folk band, alternative country, whatever you want to call it. But their name is The Riverside. They're a family band. It's two brothers and a sister, I believe. Full orchestra band, and I mean, they're making some good music right now too. I believe they're on Instagram under The Riverside Folk, but good stuff as well. They got a lot of albums out right now.
Chris, Zach Bryan, is that correct?
Yeah.
I believe I seen his vinyl today at the record store in Heber Heights.
Oh.
I had to get that Nine Inch Nails for myself. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it was there. So I thought I seen that there. So Jake, I know you have an eye for horror, but do you have an ear for music as well?
Yes, I do. Let me grab something to show you. Hold okay. on.
This is why he's doing that real quick. Chris, I understand. What am I saying this like? It's a habit. You have your turntable now, of course. And how's that audio really sounding now that you have that all set up?
I had to buy a part that I needed to essentially create a left and a right channel out of a 3.5 auxiliary. Is what it required, but I now have the record player hooked up to a couple bookshelf speakers, and it's sounding great. I listened to the one you bought me actually the other night, the Cure Pornography album, and it was fucking amazing. There's just something about it, something about holding it, setting it down, putting the needle on, you know, and just it being, I don't know, yours forever. Like, it's just there. It's yours. You can play it at any time you want to. I know these are great. We've talked about these several times, but there's just something about, you know, something that can't be taken away from you ever. If you lose your, I don't know, your Apple Music or whatever, your Spotify account, whatever, your music's gone.
Yeah.
That's why I hate I hate those subscription based. I have to buy the album. And then if my phone ever dies and I don't have a way to charge it, apocalypse now, whatever. You know, I mean, there's just something about it that can be said about a vinyl record. I used to feel that way about CDs, but I don't know, something's drawing me to the vinyl aspect. And it's just great.
And vinyl. Oh, and Jake, audit that part out because that's not going to sound any good. Speaking of the vinyl, as we continue down at Nine Inch Nails, you talked about The Cure, enjoying it, vinyl more and more. Jake kind of teased us there a little bit. Where were you holding there, bud?
a classic album, Michael Jackson.
It's okay. I'll try to help you out there a little bit during the edits. Michael Jackson's Thriller, one of the biggest selling albums, vinyl records, LPs of all times.
Definitely.
That blends the horror and the music all together. And Eddie Van Halen, of course, plays the famous guitars and Beat It in that. I had to plug that in there. Played just one track. That was it. And also suggested to Michael Jackson and, of course, a very famous producer. Do you know who produced that album, guys?
Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy.
I don't.
That would be Quincy Jones.
Jake, I was cutting me up because I lost the train of thought of the brain of the name here. But this isn't. Actually, Eddie Van Halen suggested, you know what? How about we try this when it came to Beat It, when it came to the music? So they actually went with Eddie Van Halen's, you know, yeah, you're right. That does sound better. I mean, those were actual Michael Jackson's words to Beat It with the guitar riffs. I'm not talking about the guitar solo, but the guitar with the rhythm. I'm like, wow, Michael Jackson. Yeah, you're right, Eddie. That does sound better. Or, yeah, you're right, Eddie. That does sound better.
I was going to say, he would say it exactly like that.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure we get Jake's one. Yeah, seriously, it was up there. In fact, if I remember correctly, Michael Jackson did buy had responsibilities of the shares of owning even the rights to the Beatles, their music at one time. Well, we could go down a rabbit hole there big time. I don't know. But you know, I think we should get back to some of these trailers here real quick. Chris, I'm glad you can enjoy your vinyl. I'm so thrilled that you can enjoy it and appreciate it, especially when you get into some music. Sometimes you really get the split between the left and the right. You can really get lost into those vinyl. I mean, you get locked into the songs from your favorite artist or from your favorite albums even more when you're listening to vinyl, because you're just concentrating to it more. So speaking of concentrating, as we have at least two viewers right now, let's go back to watching a trailer that I'm hoping that you have not seen. You know what, this, Chris?
We got to project our prosperity. We have to project more viewers. If we build it, they will come, right?
Thank you, Mr. Costner.
Drink more and it won't matter.
Yeah,
that's
funny. Yeah. You know what? Seriously, here's a trailer, Chris, that I hope surprises you. If not, well, then it's like the first time tonight I failed.
Don't get too hung up on reason. They just keep killing.
Only in theaters. I love that.
Very fucking cool.
Sorry. Hold on, let me.
I had only seen that title. I hadn't seen anything about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just saw the title of it. That looks fucking awesome.
Jake, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead with this. When I went to go see Late Night with the Devil, that's the first I heard of that trailer we just watched. And I was like, oh my God, is this, and I'm going to ask you real quick, Jake, have you seen this trailer? And who do you think of when you see this, when you're watching this trailer? I got to know. I mean, I already know what I'm thinking,
no. But
Jake, tell me, what are your thoughts when you see this trailer?
All right, Scott, my first thought is Jason Voorhees. I think of Jason.
Oh, yeah.
The whole setting, everything.
Unavoidable, right?
I'm going to say Jason with a really major attitude. I mean, how do you have Jason finally with it? He always had an attitude. Sorry, Kane Hodder. There's no doubt. I mean, I feel like a dumbass for even saying that right now. As we all know, Kane was a badass, but there's just something about this with the whole gun. And it's a mystery. It's a teaser. What the fuck's going on here? I love it.
No explanation.
Yeah.
Gotta leave it alone.
Yeah. Only in theaters.
You gotta assume that the audience is smart enough to fill in the blanks.
They're listening.
Just give us.
They're listening to the horror fans finally. Yeah. It's about fucking time. I'm excited about that one. I think
that's a lot of good. That's a lot of good trailers. I mean, for the drought that we're supposed to have with the whole writer's strike and all that other bullshit, I feel like there's been a lot of trailers coming about that are kind of exciting.
It's like,
right?
It's like we're coming back to the independence, a small production, and the reality of it is, there's a lot of small productions that are hitting around. We're going to see a lot of stuff that's being presented out of Cincinnati, Ohio right now. There's a lot of film.
Oh yeah. I heard they're filming. Yes. I think somebody says Stallone filming in downtown Cincinnati right now.
It's going to be Rocky, 874.
It's going to be Expendables 18.
As he says, Adrian's, his dentures fall out. Well, guys, I'm going to end this podcast where I finally get Late Night with the Devil. But before I do that, before I share any thoughts, of course, I got to, share, hopefully, a screen. A trailer.
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack.
God, that's awesome.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms
once again. Old school shit.
Well, Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it.
I'm trying to host a nationally syndicated talk show.
And I'm trying to help you keep it on the air.
We all know how important it is to keep our sponsors and affiliates happy, but in my humble opinion, there is only one person who really matters in this whole darn crazy business. And that is you, our viewer.
You're meddling with things you don't understand.
Whoa! Now, as you know, here on Night Owls, we think it's very important to keep an open mind. Please welcome Dr. June Ross Mitchell and Lily, the young subject of the book, Conversations with the Devil.
I really don't think it's a good idea, Jack. She's becoming more unpredictable.
That's a good thing. That's why we still do live TV.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay tuned for a live television first as we attempt to commune with the devil.
Lily, can you hear me?
Good
Nice to see you again, Jack.
Lily, return to me.
This isn't about ratings anymore.
No one's going anywhere.
How could you let it happen, Jack? How could you let it happen?
Please be warned, anyone with young children in the room.
Go to commercial.
You're about to see.
You okay, Jack?
It's profoundly disturbing and shocking.
You get out there, Mr. Midnight.
Late Night with the Devil.
You guys can figure out the order here on how you want to share your thoughts on that trailer alone. As I get another beer.
Scott told me that he was going to see it. And I was instantly jealous. I had seen brief glimpses of the trailer of it. And I was like, this looks fucking cool. And then he told me he was going to see it. And I was like, oh, damn, I'm jealous. I can't go see it right now. So I was excited for you, if that's possible.
Absolutely. Jake, before I get into my should I spoil it or not moment for you, what are your thoughts on that trailer?
Oh, the trailer was awesome. It makes me want to see the movie. I've got to see it. And I am also jealous of you, but happy for you at the same time.
Well, guys, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been an emotional, I put myself in the doghouse. That's probably why I started this podcast off upset, because I wanted it to go off brilliantly, because this week I already talked to Chris privately about something yesterday. I just wasn't proud of myself on certain things, and I may get into that in the next episode. I haven't decided yet. Like I said, I want to start this podcast off smoothly. I want it to be really fun. I want it to be entertaining for the three of us first. No offense, viewers and listeners. And then, of course, hopefully you guys would see our, you know, how we react to this. And, you know, technology pissed me off. And if I'm going to get angry, I'm going to get angry. But it is what it is. Now I'm going to get to the good stuff. Late Night with the Devil. Some of you out there may know that I enjoy editing. It's something that I've enjoyed since I was really a late teenager. I was fascinated with cameras. I was fascinated on how films were made. And then I went back to watch horror films again, just from that aspect, how they made these movies, not because of how the movie was itself. Watching that trailer before I went to go see the film, it also took me back to what it was like for me as a young kid in the late 70s, early 80s. That trailer brought back memories of what I experienced. I was so excited. Maybe was it because that was the first time I seen the trailer, which was Friday night? I got the tickets automatically on my phone through Cinemark, Mark, and I'm like, cool, we're going to go see it. Zach and I were going to go see it. So we went and watched it last night. Thursday, I'm sorry. I seen this trailer on Thursday. I'm off on Friday, so I get my days confused. So I went to go watch this Friday with my son, and I seen that trailer that we just watched previously for the first time in the theaters, Beetlejuice as well. And I've seen the Shudder constantly popping up with the show. I'm like, damn, Shudder's going to knock it out of the park. I guess I'm trying to go in a full circle here, like what you were talking about, Chris, with the writer's strike. And I just feel like this is going to be a good year for horror, because there were some other ones that they shared as well. But after sitting down watching, I want to say 2 hours, I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm sure there's enough information on the internet how long that movie was. It's hard to tell because you got like 30 minutes of trailers and shit. Going back to what I was saying as an editor, I loved how the film was created as an editor. Is that going to spoil it for Jake? Is that going to spoil that for you, for Chris? Maybe, maybe not. Did I enjoy the film? I think you get the idea of how I liked it or not. Am I going to tell you anything about it? No, I'll wait till after you guys see it, because I want you guys to enjoy it as well. Because you may not like it at all. Is everything that you see in the trailer, is it a teaser? Did you get a lot from that trailer?
Not really. not in my mind. I feel like there's a whole bunch going on in the background.
It's not a... I'm cheating right now as I'm looking at a Reservoir Dogs DVD cover I've got up on the wall. So it's not a Quentin Tarantino film. It's not creative beautifully like that. And of course, I'm starting to think of Breaking Bad. In other words, it was major thumbs up on my end. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I can't wait to see it again. And I hope that you guys will enjoy this film yourself. If you don't, oh, well, agree to disagree. Everybody gets to enjoy their own magical ride, their own roller coaster. But I love the film, right, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. And I hope that any of our other, you know, loyal listeners and viewers out there, all 91, 92,000, I hope you guys can enjoy it too, especially if you're into horror.
We had spoke privately about that guy, that host. Mm-hmm. I always forget his name, but he's a very familiar face. He was in Prisoners. God, once you see his face, you never forget it. His
first name is David.
I don't know his name, but
his last name, I'm not even going to try. I would butcher it. He's his character Fair name. Enough. Yeah, his Jack.
Did he carry the movie, or was he like a good supportive role? Or
he was
I'm just wondering how his performance
was great
was.
He was great in the film. The other actors in the film were great in it. You know how when you see something that you've enjoyed and you're speaking like I am right now to others and you're trying to figure out a way not to ruin it for them, because I don't like to ruin what I enjoyed as a film.
Not too many details.
Yeah,
sure.
You know what, Chris, we went through this with The Passenger. I would be okay to welcome a discussion back on. And Jake, you know, you're more welcome, of course. I don't want to be rude there. Who knows? Jake, after you see this with your podcast, you may feel like talking about it, since you've talked about other films on your podcast as well. I just think this is going to be a nice lineup with Shudder. If they're going to create something like this, maybe they'll be inspired to create more like it. Okay. I kind of teased it. Was it good? Was it bad? Was it like all the other horror films we've been seeing, you know, reboots lately, or was it something original for the first time in ages? You want me to spoil that? Or do you kind of get the vibe of how I feel? Was it? Okay. Fuck it. Yeah. It's an original story.
I feel like it. I was thinking, I felt like it was original. It just the vibes I was getting off of it. It felt pretty original. It didn't feel like it was riding the coattails of anything else.
You might see some inspirations in it, but it may not dawn until after you see it later. During the time, I didn't really think of, I mean, you get the idea. It's a talk show, right? You get a late night talk, late night with the devil, duh.
Right.
This is 1977. There was a extremely popular, in fact, to this very day, talk show hosts still compare themselves to a legendary, you know, Tonight Show. Johnny Carson.
JC.
There you go. I don't need to say anything more about it. If you watch it, it'll all make sense. There was just now it is listed as a horror comedy, and I was laughing my ass off at times, and I loved it. For once, horror film that had the balls to say, not only are we a horror, but we got some comedy aspects of it.
I love that dichotomy of horror, and because they're closely related. If you watch most horror movies when they're being made, half the time they're laughing their asses off. They're just making fun of themselves. I mean, they take it as a joke.
I welcome this film. I can't wait to own it. I can't wait to see it again. I'm looking forward to your guys' perspective on it so I could talk about it more in the future here when we meet each other here down the man cave, because it is horror. It is some random shit about the comedy. Is there cars in this film? No. Is there music? Yeah, it's got that 70s, you know, porno vibe to it. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dick's got sideburns.
That's right. I think we put this baby to bed, guys. episode 19. It started off kind of like I was right ready to fucking tear my goddamn shit apart to where it ended in a good note because we ended it with the devil.
Okay.
Tune in next week as we talk about something that I've been kind of afraid to discuss, but I'm ready. And I think it's important because I know Chris and I are huge fans of a certain series, and it's an important issue all along. I'll give you a hint now, guys. If you're a fan of Friends, you might enjoy our next podcast. And I'm talking about the series itself, and who knows where it may lead it to as well.
We might be there for you.
When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year.
Could we be any more annoying? I'll just hit that fucking button. Chris and I want to thank you for listening or watching Meet Us in the Man Cave. Since you enjoyed watching us, make sure you want to tell all your friends about us, subscribe today, and click on that notification bell. It's going to be helping you being reminded when our next episode is uploaded or even possibly a live stream video. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, YouTube. You can listen or download to Meet Us in the Man Cave on your favorite podcasting app, available to stream or download so you can listen to us all you want, whenever you want. For more information, go to meetusinthemancave.podbean.com.